So I had the pleasure of meeting Jacob through Aubyn at G2. And to say me and Jacob like immediately vibed, we both are just kind of like very much ourselves to a detriment, but like for him, it's not a detriment at all. Like his energy is seriously unmatched. And honestly, like he must be an incredible like account executive at his job. And like that's kind of why we have him on this podcast right now. But like every single interaction that I've ever had with him, whether it's in a DM or a quick Slack call or whatever it is, like I'm always smiling. Like I always leave those conversations smiling and feeling at least a little bit better about myself, the world, whatever it is. Like just his outlook is so inspiring. And he has a hell of a lot to teach us today.
Yes, Jacob is a great example of someone who has found what he's really fucking good at, but doesn't make that his whole personality, which is just like goals. Love that for him. Love that for us in the future. Jacob is one of those people who's contagious in the best possible way. You have exactly one interaction with him, whether that's like through a LinkedIn comment, even or a LinkedIn DM, and you want more. You want more of his passion. You want more of his story. You want more of his words that he strings together into sentences that leaves you hanging on to everything that he's saying because he's just that personable and delightful. Like he's just delightful. In the last year, Jacob has started a new job, gotten married, bought a house, started a nonprofit, started a community, and most importantly, was introduced to Bridget and myself. And we're
Obviously, the
just
most important.
obviously the most important. And we're just two people who have been able to be positively impacted by knowing Jacob. He's not afraid to bring his entire self to any conversation. And that level of confidence is something that we were just like so excited to learn more about and talk about and compliment him on. And he taught us so much. We changed the title of this episode 5 times while we were recording it because he was dropping insane amounts of knowledge. So just
Sit back,
literally enjoy,
relax.
like simply enjoy because it's so fucking good. So fucking good.
I am the queen of like, I love when a meeting ends early, but then when I have those back to backs and they end early, and then I literally miss the next one by like 10 minutes. And I'm like,
Dog,
fuck.
you're really actually describing my whole existence right now
Yeah,
because
that's my biggest life problem right now is being the girl that's late to meetings, even though I'm not the girl that's late to meetings.
Oh man, I started hopping into Zoom rooms 5 minutes early and people started,
Oh,
don't do
literally.
it, don't do it.
Power
Literally.
move.
Yeah, it's a power move, right? Because you're like, I feel like you showed up to my house an hour before I invited you.
Right. And you're just
Not
like
the
sitting
Zoom room.
around and you're like, do you want a glass of wine? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you don't have to let me in. You could just,
Seriously.
but
Incredible.
what do you know?
Just let me chill in the waiting room. I just like, because then it'll automatically start the meeting and I won't be late. Like, that's all. That's all I ask. Oh my God. Yes. Okay. Jacob, you
So.
do a lot. Mostly you're doing the most, in the best possible way. Can you give us like a quick rundown of what you're working on right now currently? And that can be day job, that can be life things, and then also any side hustles you got going on. Like what's up?
Yeah, what's up? Well, I'm working on my second year of marriage to live, and that is something I've need for improvement on. I don't do enough dishes. That's like my main beef with myself right now. That's like my main KPI that I'm working on, dishes per week. So the outside of my marriage, I am an account executive at a company called Clue. So I live in Vancouver, Canada. Clue is, I love Vancouver. If anyone ever wants to talk about Vancouver,
Oh my
holla.
God, I'm gonna come to Vancouver. I didn't know that that's where you were, but I'm gonna come there now.
So, but yeah, basically, I'm working at Clue. We help companies understand and beat their competition. And so, I'm an account executive over there on the commercial team. And then I help run a community called Sales for the Culture, which is basically a community of Black tech sales professionals that all decided we don't want to have to navigate the tech sales game alone anymore, right? We want to
Yes.
learn from people that have gone before us. We want to run with people alongside us. And then we want to help people coming on behind us. And so, yeah, from the exec of a multi-billion-dollar tech company to like the SDR that literally just started yesterday or is trying to break into the game. That's kind of a place that we call home. There's like 1,000 of us there.
Oh my God.
Also, yeah, he said he helps run. He founded.
Yeah.
One of distinction people that was there, like, it's a very community led community. I refuse and vehemently rebuke being like the guy. Like every time I get
okay, you can be the co guy. How about that?
You're a co guy.
One of the people. I'll just one of the many.
One of the founding members.
Sure. I'll take that. So yeah, those are kind of the things that I'm working on.
Feels like a lot of things to focus on. So, and when we were like having our conversation of what should our conversation be about, you talked about how you landed your job at Clue. And if it's okay with you, we want to put your whole Clue interview cadence Google Doc like in the show notes so that people can go and like look at it, because this is quite literally 5 pages of how to land great a job content outside of your industry.
Yeah.
How Jacob did it, how you can do it too. But give us the TLDR. How did you decide to switch industries? And then what were your steps to be like, oh shit, well now I got to do it. Here's what I should do.
Yeah. And I also want to know like how Clue fit into that, you know, and like their side of it, kind of just why you went with them over the others.
Deciding to come switch industries. So a little, maybe more background context than you asked for, but it helps, I think. So when I graduated high school, I basically got into sales right away. I did like a very brief stint at uni before I decided I want to be like running companies and on the sales side of companies up until I'm ready to run companies. So like, I don't know what I'm doing, spending 4 or 5 years in these lecture halls. Mm-hmm. So I dropped out of a four-eyed Stolly to business school, and everyone in my family, I'm the kid of 2 Ethiopian refugees. Everyone in my family thought I was going to be homeless. I fortunately did not turn out to be homeless. I started selling, but I was doing like, I did SDRing at a payments company at one point, and then I was in advertising, and then I was recruiting for accounting and finance. Got to a point where I was like, okay, he's not homeless. Like things are going all right. But I left sales and the marketplace to go help be a part of planning a church in my hometown for 3 years. After 3 years, I'm like, okay, I'm sensing like coming back to the marketplace is the right move, right call. And I was pretty smitten with the idea of coming back to tech, but I was also like really excited about the Vancouver tech scene, but it's not yet like what it could be. And there's so many people that could have a shot at doing something really cool if the scene continued to blow up here. So I was really excited about a Vancouver-based company. Mm-hmm. And that's how kind of Clue came into the mix. So those are all some of the things that geared me towards Clue. And then I was like, okay, they're looking for 5+ years of software enterprise, like sales experience. I have 0 years of software sales experience.
Right.
And 0 years of enterprise. So...
Oh my God.
That kind of began the process.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I know Vancouver, it's just, I think this is the way it is for a lot of people, especially if you come from a background that's typically untapped by tech. Like, you know, probably so many people that are hungry and bright and like they could do anything. But they're managing like 5 retail locations and like working 70, 80 hour weeks, killing themselves for like, maybe not using all of the skills that they want to be able to use or reaping like all the returns that they would want to be able to reap. Like, there's so many reasons that like when I saw tech and I saw what it could kind of do for the scene out here, for how many people didn't know about it. It's not even on the menu for most people in Vancouver. So that got me pretty excited. Yeah. I mean, when it came to getting the gig at Clue, I always tell people I actually didn't get the gig at Clue at first. I didn't make it out of the first round of interviews. So every time people ask me and they ask me for a referral, they're like, want to come in the door. They're like, what do I do in the first interview? I'm like, apparently not what I did.
Learn from me.
Yeah. The way I got in. So the top, like historically, the top rep here at Clue, her name is Erin. So I kind of slid into her DMs on LinkedIn. I was like, hey, I think Clue's really interesting. I would love to hear more of your POV on what the culture's like there, on what like a really good fit looks like there. So we had a conversation. She's like, you know what? I will introduce you to the line manager and HR. And I can't, if there's anyone who's trying to switch out of the thing they're currently doing into something else, I cannot speak highly enough about getting people on the ground there, introducing you to the person who would be like managing you or making that decision. Mm-hmm. And I think structurally why that's an important piece of the puzzle is HR has 2 jobs in that first interview, right? Make sure that you're someone who would be, whether you use the term culture add or culture fit or whatever.
Right. It's a vibe check. Yeah, that's what we like to call it.
Right. That's the first thing. And when I did that first interview, I was a, you know, vibe fit or whatever. We call them culture ads here at Clue. I didn't hit the second thing. Right. And the second thing is like, that person in HR, you know, if they're hiring for engineering and they're hiring for finance and they're hiring for sales, they're not necessarily like an expert at the thing they're hiring for. They want to not waste the time of the line manager, and the line manager's giving them some specifications. And the last thing on earth you would want to do is put someone in front of the line manager that they would feel like is a waste of their time, that didn't really fit what they said they wanted. And then you know, maybe someone gets their ear chewed off or whatever. That's not the way we work here at Clue, but like, I could tell like the thing that was my going to be my ceiling, if I went HR to line manager, is I would have been trying to make a case to somebody who doesn't have a gut instinct in the thing that I'm trying to do,
right,
to make the call that like, I have the whatever special sauce, like that wasn't going to fly. So I went hiring manager first, then line manager, or sorry, line
you manager first, then HR. Back.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I think that's smart also, because there are always those like checklists of skills that you have to have before you can go from one stage of the interview process to the next, and going directly to HR when you don't fit the exact job description and don't have the exact keywords in your like historical like job descriptions to match the roles that they're hiring for. Like you're, it's not going to work out because they're screening for you to say specific things. Yep. And they can't,
because they don't know anything about those specific things, right? Right.
And they don't understand that you're talking around those things or like making your experience fit to what you would actually be doing in that job. So love the go to the hiring manager first, not HR.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Yes. And I think too, what Postal is doing that I think is interesting, that is different than most companies, is it sucks for us hiring managers, but I do most of the sourcing for my own roles. Because the recruiters have told me, like, we don't know what you want. And chances are, like, we're learning that the 10 bullet points on a job description aren't enough to really, like round out that person anyway. So, like, Bridget, you go find what you want and we'll do the legwork. But, like, I need you to do the kind of, like, first initial, and at least that it creates a pattern for them to be like, okay, they want this type of person. Like, yeah. I'm more than happy to take that first interview with somebody that hasn't worked in the industry if I can like feel their like energy and all of that stuff. But very good tip. Go around HR if you can.
Yeah. And I think there's also like the charitable characterization here is like, I know that so much, like what you said, Bridget, right? It's like, it's not that they don't necessarily want to find the great diamond in the rough or the gamble hire, the person that, you know, doesn't fit all the things. It's not that they don't want that. It's like, how would I even begin to know? Right.
Yeah. Right.
Made it past the first round, didn't make it past the first round. But I told the hiring manager, hey, I'm going to let you know how this first interview goes. And then I followed up with a video message saying, hey, just circling back, like I promised, you know, here's like kind of what I see of the Clue story that really was jumping out, like beaming from the eyes of the HR person that I talked to. And here's kind of a story from my experience that I think lines up. And I'm really excited to get into this next conversation with you and talk about, you know, sales methodologies and all those sort of pieces. When he got that video, he actually reversed the verdict. It was like, hey, I need to meet this guy.
Power moves. Like, you're obviously so clearly in sales. Like, you're meant to do that no matter what you're selling. Like,
but that's also such a good candidate tip too, to be like, a rejection doesn't necessarily, like, especially if it's the first round and you haven't talked to the person who would be your manager, like even just thanking them for their time and reiterating what you learned about the product and company and service and all of that. Like, at least you're not being like, fuck you guys.
Dude, the amount of people that just don't, like, I get it. When you get a rejection, especially in the first round, like your knee jerk reaction is to be like, fuck this. And obviously not respond, like fucking follow up.
This is an even better follow up than like, can you tell me what I was missing?
Yes.
Because that's just like,
let me tell you what you were missing.
Like, you're taking me.
Well, if I can actually one up it a little bit, I didn't know that I got rejected. I didn't know that I got rejected in the first interview. I got a, hey, we'll get back to you. Okay. Nice. And when I figured out that I got rejected from the first round was mid second round interview. So the second round interview, I get in. I'm talking to my hiring manager now, Kella. Kella's the goat. And he could tell, right? So the way hiring processes get structured is, right, step two presumes you've passed step one. Step one is you've done the sale before. So step two is break down for me a sale that you've done that's like our sale. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't do that because I didn't have that.
Right.
Bless Calla for having the presence of mind as a manager to like pivot on the dime in that conversation. He goes, look, he puts the script away. He's like, look, man, I see the fire, but I'm not quite like, how do I justify moving you past this round? Right. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Calla, did you read my resume before we got into this interview? He's like, of course I did. I'm like, Calla, well, you already knew all those things before we sat down for this conversation. I think the real question here is, why are you interviewing me right now?
right. Good for you.
Touché. You know what? You had the video message, you know, the fire and the grit, whatever. I said, look, Calla, I think you're asking a really reasonable question about experience right now. Sure. So, I mean, let's try this, Calla. Let's like throw me a couple of examples of scenarios you think would come up in a conversation. And I'm going to answer the best that I can. And if I suck, man, you gave me my shot. Thanks and have a great day. But if I do well,
yeah,
I mean, that might be what you're looking for. He asked me a question. I give him an answer. He asked me a question. I give him an answer. They weren't all perfect, but they had something there. And then I just sold the next step. I didn't sell hire me today. I just said, he at the start of the meeting said, look, man, the next meeting, if this goes well, is a mock call, right? Mm-hmm. A skill-based interview. And I said, hey, Calla, it sounds like you're feeling pretty good about this conversation. The only question here is a skill. Like, do I have it or not? Is that a fair statement? Mm-hmm. He says, yeah. I go, okay, well, isn't it great that the next step in your interview process is figuring that
out?
Right,
is skills testing. Right.
So why do we do that? And he said, yeah. I sent him another video message. He said, touche. I got on the call. And then that's where like the crown jewel moment is, like, I think in this interview process, or at least what people tell me, like, is about to come.
I do think that a lot of people think that every interview gets harder. I don't necessarily know that that's the case. I think the more yeses that you get, the more likely you are to get the job. If you do one interview and they schedule four more, that means they like you.
Yep.
Yeah. If you do one interview and they schedule one interview a week from now, it's like, you're not their top candidate, but then it gives you the signal to be like you did. You're like, why? What do I need to do to kind of get more out of you? And like, how do I stay engaged with you so that you stay engaged with me? I think that is so stinking smart. Yeah. Good for you.
You just also have the ability to read people because you're basically dissecting the undertones of what your manager or future manager was saying to you, which I think is one of those soft skills that is hard to learn. You can't sit down and be like, how do I understand reading someone?
Right. But that's the difference. Is
why you're in sales also is because you're good at that.
I wasn't in the clear yet. It was like, they were giving me my at bat, but I'm like, okay, how do I so ridiculously stack the deck in my favor coming into this last conversation? Because at that point we were still like pre-Series A, you know, the CEO was like sitting on those final interviews. But I think like if people talk about my interview process at all, which sometimes comes up, it'll only ever be in reference to this last thing, and it's social proof. I think a decent chunk of it was, man, if people that are in are willing to like consider you in, that's all you need to be in. And it's kind of arbitrary and silly and weird, but here's how that played out in this process. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, how do I get, who does Clue want to impress? Okay, this is their ICP. Okay, what's like the main persona that they're trying to dig into? Okay, product marketer. So I'm going to get a bunch of like VPs of product marketing and heads of sales enablement at companies that Clue would absolutely adore having as clients that don't, mm-hmm. that aren't clients. And I'm going to interview them. I went in, I did like a bunch of reading on like the PMA of like different reports talking about what the function, like what PMA product marketing is all about. But then I wanted to get some real conversations with people to go, hey, I feel like I have the 101 understanding, but if I'm going to work for this company, I'm auditioning to serve people like you in this next chapter of my career. I want to understand what your challenges really are. And if this sort of thing actually helps you in your day-to-day life, like I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm just really...
I don't even work for the company yet.
I just want to learn. Right. Yeah. So I got like about like seven people. After I interviewed them, I asked them like, hey, can I ask two questions? Right. I demonstrated in that conversation, like, hey, I've done my 101. I've done my reading on you. And we have this chat about like higher impact conversations of serving people like you. Can I ask two questions? The first is like, would you think that someone in your shoes would be well served if they were going through a buying process, being helped in that buying process by someone like me? Like, do you think I'd be a helpful guy? And they're like, oh man, for sure. And they all so, one woman said like, yeah, I guess. But like everyone else was like, yeah. And they started like gassing your boy up. I'm like, wow, that's so kind. Thank you. Can I ask a second question in light of that first question? They're like, yeah, go for it. And I'm like, would you be willing to record what you just said in a 30 to 60 second video?
Yes.
Send to the CEO and the sales leader of the company I'm applying.
You're a literal genius.
Fucking like genius. A literal
fucking genius.
And that one woman said, absolutely not.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, that you can't have 100% success rate.
Right.
But everyone else said yes. And the day before my final interview, like an absolute avalanche, like the CEO, the sales leader, the head of
customer service, dude.
Like everyone in that panel interview is getting dinged up by people they respect, being like, if you don't hire this kid, we will.
Yes.
And it was just.
And the more that you do things outside of the box, and like stand out, like that's product marketing for you. Like you product marketed them and sold them.
But I mean, also you're just
a delight.
You prefaced all those interviews with no ask. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I don't work for this company. I'm simply trying to learn from you. And I think especially when you're in that like job search, you want every single interaction with the person that you're talking to be transactional. Mm-hmm. Like you offer me a job, you take me to the next step. Mm-hmm. You do something for me because I decided to set up this call because I want a job, versus going into it with that like curiosity mindset of like, I'm going to be servicing a new kind of customer, regardless of if you are in accounting, finance, engineering, sales, marketing, customer success, whatever, like you have a customer, you're in an industry. And if it's a new one for you, learn about it.
Yeah.
But then there was an ask after that, after you built that rapport, after you built that trust. And then it was like an easy no brainer, like, duh.
Right.
And that's just so goddamn smart. That's so sick. I'm so glad you're here talking about it.
A few things though, that, you know, have to be said. There are people who are, you know, in the conversation that have the clout, that have the, you know, access, whatever it is, that like, unless I had those people willing, mm-hmm. right? They didn't have to take the call with me. They didn't have to turn a 20-minute conversation into an hour conversation, which they all chose to do.
Yeah.
Except that one woman. And
they kept you humble. She's keeping us all humble.
Truly. And I also bombed that conversation. I learned a lot and then applied it to the next. That's more on me than her. But yeah, they, like without those people being willing to like go to bat, like, you know, I would have been scrambling to try to demonstrate my creativity or whatever. But mm-hmm. I need people who would be willing to give me a shot, and to the credit of them. And also like you talk about understanding, Bridget, like what it would be like for me at this company. Like, I talk to a lot of people at Clue.
Yeah.
People that work at Clue, people that work at Clue.
Right. But people don't do that. And then they have unrealistic expectations for what it is. Mm-hmm. And then they're let down. We talked about that last episode. It was just like, how are you going to know what it's like if you have never done it or never been there?
If you don't put in the work to figure out what it's like.
But also,
otherwise like, it's a dream inside your head and then you're going to get,
I really think that so many people like in the wrong, like are looking to companies to define. Companies are hiring you so that you define what you want a good work environment to be.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He has another document. Guys,
docs on docs.
The show notes for this episode are going to be so fucking tactical. I swear
Google
to God.
Google Docs needs to sponsor this man.
This episode is sponsored by Jacob's Google Docs.
These are questions I just love. Like, what do you look for in a role? Obviously, like my criteria is skewed by my priorities. You could tell like just from the questions I was asking, like
as it should be.
There's not like an objectively you should do this or that.
No, mm-hmm. It's different people, different jobs.
Yeah. And my questions are skewed by the things that I valued, but I wish like I kind of had to like talk to a million people and try to like read a bunch of docs, like try to figure out like what should I look for? Like what do I want? Not what my parents want. Like,
but that's also like, that's kind of similar to what Bridget and I talked about in our last episode of like, we need to know what motivates us. We need to know what kind of problems we want to solve versus what kind of problems we don't want to solve. But we also, mm-hmm. and that's for your work and for your life of just, what do I like to do? Because that question outside of work can sometimes be a really tricky question to answer, which is a bummer. But same thing for what do I like to do for those 8 hours that I am at work? And what do I not really like to do? And what will I stand for? And what will I not stand for? And having that written down before or even during the process of interviewing a bunch of different companies is just going
to
help.
I guess that leads us though, kind of to the next question, like what how do you balance passions and your job and like the stuff with Sales for the Culture and all that? Like, are you doing that outside of your job? Are you doing that like we do this podcast where you're like trying to fit it in, but it doesn't really fit?
I am not a tremendous case study for like time management and like balancing of a million priorities. Like, I'm a very immersive human. I go really hard at something for like my stretch. And then I have a tough time juggling, to be honest with you. So I would say that like, probably to like people that have different standards than me, they'd be like, dude, you're really good at juggling stuff. But I'm like, I really don't know that that's all that true. So
the impossible that standards for yourself. Tell me what that's like.
Never heard of her.
Yeah. So I think like the big balls for me outside of work are my relationship. As far as Sales for the Culture, like I just get so much joy out of the things that we do there. So one of the things you'll notice in this conversation with interviewing, like I mentioned, I talked to a lot of like industry mentors. A lot of how Sales for the Culture came to be was like kind of an organic Slack channel Morgan Ingram had started. There's people that I met through that. And I think the access conversation that we have about helping people from backgrounds typically untapped by tech be able to navigate those waters, a lot of that can come back to, man, like, where would you get that frame of reference, right? Like, I put together these Google Docs or you can follow certain people on LinkedIn, but like, realistically, like, it's super helpful to have a conversation with somebody that can guide you and mentor you and help shepherd you to figure out like, okay, these are your interests, these are your skills, this is where your character is at, here are some of your weaknesses, like, you know, here's a path forward to where you're trying to get to. Like, it's really difficult to start into those conversations unless you got like a big personality or parents that are connected or, you know, you know about certain things. So one of the reasons Sales for the Culture exists is so that at least for Black people who want to get into tech sales and who are in tech sales and are wanting to continue to grow in their career. So having people around you that like, I think of this as one of the great callings on my life right now is to like participate as best as I can to try to facilitate that sort of space creation and maintenance. But it can be high seasons and low seasons as far as time involvement, right?
Absolutely.
So that's Sales for the Culture. I've been really encouraged by my local church. Like, I'm part of a small church plant here in Vancouver. Like 100 people, super wonderful. And that's tremendously restorative for my heart. And I play basketball and I was not hooping during the pandemic before, but like, we got like a small group of guys that get together in a small gym and that's just been, oh, so
I love that.
Good. It's been so good. So
I'm trying to get back out on the court. We'll see if that happens. I think it's really great that you're like using the experience that you had to teach other people and just like help like that. In and of itself is something that most people don't do. And like, it's fucking hard. Like, I'm not comparing even this to that, like, cause it's not, but I'm saying like, I'm happy to know you. Like, you're doing great things. And I just think that you're going to be able to help a lot of people. And like that started where you did. And that's the difference is like that you actually have the experience that they are having right now.
Yeah.
And like, that's because you're great, but it's all like, I don't know. I'm just fangirling, but
I know.
It's fine.
Well, I think you're a really good example. So we're going to keep complimenting you, but I think you're a really good example of finding introspection, not alone, like learning more about yourself in the context of like what makes you passionate. And that passion is like being around people, and like leveraging those people to your advantage to learn more about yourself and what you like and what you don't like. And then like what Bridget said, helping other people who are in your same spot. I think that's like a really cool lesson of like, if you have to figure out who you are, it doesn't have to happen like you being alone. Mm-hmm. It can come from interacting with people and figuring out what you want to learn more about, even if it's forced upon you because it's a new industry, but that still like introduces you to more people who can then teach you more about yourself. I think that's very cool. You're a cool guy.
Oh, you're a great guy. Like,
you are
what a cool 11 guy. Out of 10 would recommend.
Y'all are tremendous guys, seriously. But I think, Sarah, there's that note that you mentioned that we don't have to navigate introspection alone. I think that was just such a keen distillation. Cause I don't know. I think there's a bunch of different cultural traditions. Pretty much every cultural tradition, mind you, that is not 21st century, like Western, like world, that like hyper individualizes everything, right? Like I think of this a lot, obviously, like one day I want to be a pastor, right? Like I think about this a lot in the context of spiritual formation, but that's like one of like every good way you could consider possibly being formed in the person you are becoming, right? Like the idea of doing that as a solo mission is such a recent and tragic development in how we think about what
it's like the anti-self-help book mentality.
Right.
It can sometimes feel inauthentic to be more yourself or try and force more of yourself and like your personality into a work setting. I just think you do it so well.
I agree.
Very, very, very kind, both of you. I also feel like the exact same way about you both, which is why we all get along, I feel like.
Yeah. like we're real friends. We're not just work friends.
I'm really, really glad we've been able to link up. And
Sarah, would you like to ask?
Do you have any cheese in your fridge?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Do I have cheese in my fridge? I've got blue cheese. My wife just went south of the border, hit up a Trader Joe's, brought back some blue cheese stuff. So yeah, I don't know all the things that they got. They got a lot of like things, but cheese wise, they got blue cheese. I think we have some brie in our fridge. I know we have in our fridge. We got some cheddar in my fridge.
I think you have one of the most stocked cheese selections.
We're fans. I'm a fan
that we've spoken to in a bit.
Blue cheese hash, that is the move.
Tell us more about that.
You make a hash, really? You throw blue cheese in it. It's a whole vibe.
Wait, I need like, okay, just quickly the ingredients.
Potatoes,
of this hash.
Eggs, yeah. Blue cheese? Potatoes, like what are we working with?
Potatoes, scrambled eggs, bacon, a little sausage, and then
three proteins, eggs.
You got some peppers.
Gotta get the veggies.
Drop the ad, you Jacob. We're coming.
Like coming for breakfast. Blue cheese in there. Your whole day.
Oh my god, I'm sweating. Like this is a good chat.
I'm so glad y'all are serious. It's such a gift. I'm really, really glad to call you.
Like I said, happy to know you. I think this will be the first hour-long episode.
Because what could we possibly cut from this? I don't know. Jacob, where can people find you?
LinkedIn, easiest way to find me. Jacob Geberwald, G-E-B-R, and then a black guy's going to show up. Click that one.
You'll love to see it.
That's the one. And we'll have Jacob's, both of his Google Docs in the show notes of this episode, wherever you listen to your podcast. It's been a literal delight. Have the happiest of holidays. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts for Jacob specifically.
Just for Jacob.
For these,
follow us on Spotify.
Humans. Oh my goodness.
Follow us on Twitter. We love you.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.